This is the King Chasing Podcast, where we keep Christ at the center of athletics. Here's your host, Brandon Gilmore.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Brandon, and this is the King Chasing Podcast. As always, thanks for joining us, and please make sure to visit our website at thenccaa.org for more King Chasing content. Today's guest is Chris Williams, the Director of Championships at the NCCAA. Chris's journey in the NCCAA started over 30 years ago as a student athlete at Roberts Wesleyan College, now Roberts Wesleyan University. He then coached at Roberts Wesleyan before transitioning to Southern Wesleyan University as the Director of Athletics. While at Southern Wesleyan, Chris guided a transition from the NAIA to NCAA Division II, major facility construction, and the addition of several new programs. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Chris. Well, hey, Chris, welcome to King Chasing. How are you doing today?
Fantastic, my friend. Fantastic.
That is awesome news to hear. Now, I know you're the Director of Championships here at the NCCAA, but we'll get into that a little bit later. I'd love if you could first share how you first got involved with athletics.
Well, I first got involved with college athletics at Roberts Wesleyan College in Rochester, New York, and started taking some sport management classes, as well as I was a men's basketball player there, and just really tried to jump feet first in. And so I volunteered with my then athletic director, Mr. Mike Farrow, and just said, put me to work, I'll do anything. And literally I got a chance to do everything within the athletic department over the next number of years. And that's what really sparked my interest in being in college athletics.
What do you remember most about your coaching career?
Driving vans, that's one. Doing laundry in hotels at like 1 o'clock in the morning. The crazy bus rides with some of the ladies and the teams that I had. I coached women's basketball, and so just some of the crazy stories that were told, the many movies I've watched, and then ultimately the relationships that were built over all of those different experiences and times together. Obviously the winning and losing, and yeah, I kind of remember some of that, and the older I get, the more I forget about the losing pieces. But it's really just the memories, the crazy things that we did together, and that are etched into my brain forever.
Now, eventually you moved into an athletic director role. What was that transition like for you? And what were some of the challenges that you faced early on in that role?
Well, the transition was God-filled, and I try to make this brief, but I was coaching my third year at Southern Wesleyan University, and we had never been to an NCCA regional championship. We'd never won it. We'd never advanced to the nationals, and we end up playing Emmanuel at Emmanuel, and we win that, and we're going, and we're elated. We're just partying in the locker room. It's great. This huge celebration, and we're coming home, and my wife says, I don't know what you think, but I've had this dream, and I believe it's going to come true that you're going to go, your team's going to win the championship, you're going to be on the bus coming home, the president will call you, and you will be offered the job to be the athletic director at Southern Wesleyan, and that'll be the last game you ever coach. I thought she was crazy, but it was exactly how it happened.
No way.
It insane. If you were not a believer, you would not believe that story to be true. But my wife has those moments when God speaks to her in such a way that my ears perk up when she says, I got to tell you this. And that's how our transition started. And then it was a time where I stepped out of coaching women's basketball and full time into athletics administration.
What are some things that you did as an athletic director to try to keep Christ a priority within the athletic department?
One of the things that I always felt like I wanted to do and why I believe I'm put on earth is to share Christ through the platform of sport. And so I feel like God's given me a skill set to talk to people using sport. Primarily over the years, it's been basketball, but then when I transitioned into the administrator role, it became every sport. And so it gave me a place where I could meet you, or I could meet the student or the vendor or the alum in that spot, and we had an instant connection. And then from there, it was living life together in those moments in that platform. And that's where we shared Christ either together, or I was able to show what Christ is doing through my life. And would you want some of that? And so sport has really given me that avenue. I think within the athletic department, we tried to live in such a way that our student athletes would ask what's different. And that started right from the hiring process. We would really work hard to find the right person. You often hear Dan Wood, our executive director, say, "You've been called to be here." I often said the same thing. I want you to feel called to be in this position, because it's a sacrifice working at our Christian colleges. It's not the most pay. It's not the biggest budgets. You really need to feel the call to be in those situations. We also tried to encourage and support faith growth with our student athletes by providing even outside opportunities. So we invited the local FCAs to come in. We gave out Bibles as part of their gear gift. And so every year you'd come in and you'd get your allotment of Nike gear or Adidas gear. But we started to put Bibles in the gear gift. And then when you graduated, you got a study Bible, believing that you had gone deeper in your faith over your 4 years at Southern Wesleyan. We felt then that it was time for you to go a little deeper with your Bible too. And so small things in my mind, but also kind of we're drawing the line in the sand to say, this is who we are. This is who we think you should be. And then ultimately the student athlete needs to answer that for themselves.
One quick follow-up. You mentioned having the right person on the staff, somebody who's called. How important do you think that is to the entire mechanism of an athletic department, making sure that you've got the right people in place?
I think it's vital. I think it's extremely hard, And in particular with our institutions, we're usually smaller staffed and stretched in so many different directions that when it comes the time where you have to hire someone and you have 100 applications sitting on your desk and you're trying to find 3, 4, 5 other people to be on your committee and to spend the time to go through that, really hard. But probably and likely is the most important piece of the puzzle is to have those people leading and then recruiting student athletes who are also called, or at the very least need to be at your institution to hear the gospel maybe for the first time. And so those people are in my mind very vital to the success, not necessarily on the scoreboard, but in the scoreboard of life, or what you call it, king chasing, or what we call it, king chasing in the NCCA.
Now, eventually, I know you began to deal with some mental health challenges along the way. Can you share some of your journey through that, with the highs and the lows, and then what you've learned through it all?
Yeah, and I would love if someone hears this, listens to this today, and would like to have more conversation and someone just to chat with, I'd relish that. I need that continually in my life, even today, that I continue to battle anxiety and clinical depression every day. In fact, even this morning, I really struggled with my anxiety, and thankfully today it didn't win. I was able to conquer it today. I think the short version that I can tell you right now is that I allowed things to get out of balance. And, in my little world of college athletics, I started to take on way too many things. I had maybe even raised the bar too high, where I was at every single event. I was representing the institution beyond athletics at times. And I got to the point where I had become sleep deprived. And there's three things that you really got to keep in balance. That's God's one. Your exercise is two. Sleep's three. And those three things right there, I had really started to get all out of kilter. It got to the point, Brandon, where I was not sleeping at all. And I would go back into my room. I'd try to go to sleep. I couldn't go to sleep. So I just get up and go back into the office, or I would sit up and do work. And so it becomes this cycle. And I'm someone that has my counseling. I have a minor in counseling, a social work degree. My wife has counseling, and we didn't even see this, that what was coming and how did we get here? It got to a point, I believe in 2019, and it was after we had gone through a lot of transition from the NAI to the NCAA, a 5-year process of application, denial, acceptance, all the paperwork. I think it was a 3,000-page document that we ended up submitting, and just the stress and the rigor of all of that. It was one of the things that finally broke me. And I had to step away, and I took about a 2-week time period where I stepped away from my job. And I felt like I was in a pit, and I felt like I couldn't get out, and I didn't know what to do. I got into counseling, I got rest, medication, and just as Ben Bellman says in our office, I started to try to find the center and tried to center myself. And find that calm, still moment. And eventually I did and got back in, but then realized that I needed to make a change for my own mental health. And that's when I stepped away, I believe, a year later.
What's the biggest piece of advice that you have for any listeners who may be experiencing their own mental health challenges?
Well, number one, talk to someone. I mean, we're all type A's that work in athletics, I think. And so we think we can handle it all, and we can be our own counselor and solve our own problems. That's just not true. It starts to just bury and bury and bury you. And so find someone that you can talk to, that they can check in on you. They can hold you accountable. And then two, I would say, have a counselor. That may be somebody that's, you know, another coach that can do that for you. I went to a professional counselor, someone who's dealt with athletic administrators in the past. And so he really understands me. In fact, I still go to him every once in a while. It's like an oil change. I go in, I get my oil changed. I feel better and I run smoother. Right. And so what a great thing. I thought it was just nuts to go to a counselor. And this is a guy that has a counseling minor. It's been one of the best things I've ever done. The other thing I would tell you, Brandon, for those out there who might find themselves struggling with anxiety, depression, or something else in the mental health area, is find some me time. And all of us are awesome about scheduling work, but we stink at scheduling me time. If I'm married, do I put on the schedule that we're going to get away once a month? What does that look like? I don't know. Schedule it. Because you and I both know that if we don't put it on the schedule, probably not happening. Because when I pick up my phone, it tells me, oh, I got a podcast today at whatever time. I'm scheduled. Right? And so we do work really well. We don't do ourselves really well in our own daily schedule.
Now that you're on staff here, as we mentioned before, as the director of championships, how do you think your journey has prepared you for this role?
I think in a few different ways. 30 some years ago, I was a student athlete at Roberts Wesleyan College in Rochester, New York, and I had just completed my playing time, and I was sliding over to be an assistant coach with the women's basketball team. And I find out we're about to host the NCCA National Tournament for Women's Basketball. And I said, sign me up. I want to learn everything about it. And I met these coaches. One would be Mike Bonna at Emmanuel College. And then I met Dan Wood from the NCCA. And I said to myself, I'm going to work there one day. And I actually said it to Dan. And that's this, ongoing 30 years of conversation between he and I that I never really honestly thought it would happen. And especially 2 or 3 years ago, I never thought it would happen to where I am today. Right. And so I think all the different experiences from being an SID to being an event manager to serving on the board, to being a coach, to being an administrator, to being an admissions counselor, all of those things help me to have a better understanding of all the people then that we collaborate with as we put on our championships across the nation. And so as you and I and Ben and others start to work with these host schools or host institutions or the Chamber of Commerce or whoever it is, I feel like I have a better understanding of what their day looks like, right? And the struggle that they're in. And so I think then I can come at it from a little bit different sense of sympathy and understanding, but also then to be able to say, hey, well, maybe this would work for us as we work together to get this done. I think that's one of the biggest strengths that I have is to be able to come alongside someone and to understand and to even change my way of thinking of how it should have been done in my own brain. So hopefully that's what I can bring. I think the other piece of it is that God's given me a sense of joy to bring within athletics, even when things don't seem to be going great. And I think that is something that I can bring to the table as well, especially in a time when college athletics, higher education is in a bit of a struggle. And so to live life with joy too helps us all to kind of get back to why I think we're doing all of this every day.
That's good stuff. I got one last question for you. I know you are a Washington Commanders fan.
Well, I'm correct? Not a Commanders fan. I'm a Washington fan. How's that?
Okay. A Washington football team fan.
Yes.
Previously known as Redskins.
Yes.
There is a new ownership in town. How excited are you for this year or maybe next 2 to 3 years under new ownership?
I'm elated for the new ownership. It's been a train wreck recently. And that goes back to who's in that leadership role. Those people that are in the leadership roles of an organization make a big deal. And it's been a struggle administratively for the Washington football team. And not shockingly, it's gone all the way down to the football field and the success that's not being seen there. And so I'm excited for fresh blood, I guess, and to see if we can turn it around on the field. It's certainly more fun when the Washington football team is competing at the highest level, especially when we get the Cowboys and some other teams out there that, you just like to talk to a little bit.
Well, we'll hope for the best for you on that. That's all the time we have. But thank you, Chris, for joining us on King Chasing today.
Yes, sir. Glad to be on. Thank you, Brandon.
Thanks again to Chris for sharing about his time as a coach and administrator, how he made Christ a priority in his athletic department, and his mental health journey. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the King Chasing podcast on whatever app you use to listen. We would also appreciate it if you encouraged others to listen and subscribe. Once again, we're thankful to you for tuning in and supporting us. Join us next time on King Chasing. Take care, everyone.